May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We talk a lot around here about our union with Christ because the Bible talks a lot around here about our union with Christ. It's the primary message of the New Testament. Everything that we long for in our walk with the Lord is all summed up in Christ. It's all available for us in Christ. But just in terms of sort of making some summary of some things, there are three specific trifold purposes for our union with Christ. Again, when we think about union, think of it, one of the things I asked the Lord to do, help me, Lord, to give language to simplify. So in the Spirit, you have been placed into the very life of Christ, into the very life that he lives, so that he can now live that life, and his story through your life and your unique personal life story. There is this commingling, this relationship with him, that this is what makes me a Christian, is because I've been created in Christ Jesus. This is why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die on the cross so that my sins would be forgiven. That certainly is one of the things he accomplished. But he died on the cross so that he could crucify the old fallen self and raise up a whole new creature or creation. That's the purpose of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And there are three full purpose for that happening. One is that I might be as Jesus is before God, that I might be as Jesus is before men, that I might have life and life more abundant, that I might be as Jesus is before God. The Scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that he made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's living for God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and living before God, living to God in Christ Jesus. We're in union with Christ that we might be as Jesus is before God. You have to remember that Jesus took on humanity. When you read through the book of Revelation, we discover that Jesus never laid that down. Jesus is fully human. He's fully man. He's fully God. But he is fully human. And among the fellowship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sits a fully human and forever will be. And we participate in him, in that humanity, in the relationship with the burning heart of the Trinity. I'm in union with Christ so that I might be as Jesus is before God, that I might participate in his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that I might have the acceptance that he has before the Father, that I would be celebrated as he is before the Father, that I would know him, the Father, the Holy Spirit, loving me as he loves Christ. Christ took on my humanity. He's clothed in my humanity, in your humanity, redeemed humanity before the triune God, before the fellowship of the burning heart. That's remarkable. Amen? I don't have to worry about God turning his back on me or loving me less. I have, in my union with Christ, a position before God as Jesus does. The second reason, the second purpose, grand purpose of my union with Christ is I would be as Jesus is before men. Let me read this familiar scripture to you. This is from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, really familiar, but I want you to hear it. I'm going to read it to you the way it should be grammatically from the original language. I'll read it to you what it says here first. For we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, his poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, the word for here in the original language, that little preposition is actually the preposition on or upon, not for. So think about what this scripture says, that I was created in Christ Jesus. I'm his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus on top or upon good works, which he created beforehand that I should walk in them. Our union with God, with Christ, was accomplished so that I would be as Jesus is before God, fully embraced, fully loved, fully celebrated, participating in this one who's fully human before God forever. I'm in union with Christ so that I can be as Jesus is before men. And when he created me in Christ Jesus, he created me, the language, as if he created me on top of good works. As if I landed right on top of good works that I don't have to create. I don't have to work up. I don't have to sweat up. Good works, which he created. It's a remarkable verse. That he prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. You see, if somebody, it would be like, this can tell you where my heart is. It'd be as if you were born on top of the world's largest chocolate chip cookie. And you don't have to, or you were one person, and that person died, and you were raised up as a new person standing on top of a chocolate chip cookie, the giant chocolate chip cookie. You don't have to try to make a chocolate chip cookie. You don't have to build a chocolate chip cookie. You just have to enjoy the chocolate chip cookie prepared beforehand. All I got to do is eat on it, walk in it. Now, what does that mean? It means I don't have to, again, strive to create opportunities. I'm created to be as Jesus is before people. But I can wake up every day and go, Lord, thanks for the works that you've prepared beforehand. All I got to do is walk in them. I don't have to beg you for them. I just have to walk in them and manifest the life of Jesus, whether that's being the presence of the servant heart of Jesus to someone in simple acts of kindness or giving attention to or praying for them to be healed or to be delivered from the demonic. I just have to walk in them. To me, that's the coolest thing in the world. He's prepared them beforehand. He's taken care of that, so I don't have to create it. And I'm created in Christ Jesus, so I'm a supernatural presence of Jesus incarnationally before people. I just got to walk in it and let Jesus be on display in whatever that looks like in each particular need. I remember when I worked for this ministry in Birmingham, the guy who was ahead of a really neat guy was an evangelist. And then the person who worked under him was an evangelist, sweet guy, loved the Lord, but a striver, big time. And so he created this scheme for us it was like telephone evangelism. And we were to call, we had this little outline that we were to ask them questions. And at the end, ask them if they would like to be born again. Pray a prayer with us. And you had to have, I think it was 10 people who led to Christ every month. So sometimes you had to make bunches of phone calls to do that. And then at the end of every month, we had to give a report of how many people we called and that we had filled out the little sheet. And and it got so bad that some of the staff just began to lie and they would fill out sheets and make it up. I remember one time in our church, it was a huge church in Birmingham, one of the largest churches in Birmingham at the time. And we had an evangelism soul winning contest. And that for the next month, whoever would win more souls to Christ, they would, I don't know what they got, a trophy or something, I don't know what they did. And people felt so condemned, and you know, they didn't want to look like an idiot, and they wanted to, some people, the real competitive ones, wanted to win, and the rest of us felt terrible, and that's not what this verse is saying. I'm called to abide in Christ. He's already prepared works beforehand. I just got to walk in it. Just live your life. And if the Holy Spirit wants you to take a turn and go over here, then you'll know it. He'll speak. You have the mind of Christ. Amen? We don't have to work things up. We don't have to strive, try to perform, fill some quota. So our union with Christ exists so that we can be as Jesus is before God. We can be as Jesus is before men. And then thirdly, it's not all just about his glory. Is that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God created us as his masterpiece. There's nothing that brings God joy when some person is just a miserable Christian. They're in some situation and they're miserable in the situation and you ask them about it and they go, well, may God be glorified. And I want to go, well, he's not being. Because your response, he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me read these quick verses. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Wow. In 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, verse 14. And it was for this he called you through our gospel. It was for this that we may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we may give him glory, though we do, right? But that we may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the other one's real familiar, Colossians 3. For you've died, your life is hidden with Christ and God. Now when Christ is your life is manifested, you will be manifested with him in glory. What's the third reason, purpose for our union with Christ? That we might know fullness of joy at his right hand and pleasures forevermore. That we might know the experience of glory in wholeness, because that's the thing that brings him the most glory. You hear me? I hear Christians say all the time, the word blessed, God wants us to be blessed. He doesn't want us to be happy. That's the happiness is not what we're supposed to be going after. That's nonsense. The word blessed does mean happiness at the deepest level. Now, Jesus came that we all might be miserable. And he came that we all might have life and have it more abundantly. Described with words like joy unspeakable, full of glory, peace that passes all understanding. He came that we might be in union with him so that we would know the pleasure of that union. For in his presence is fullness of joy again. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.